is a place for the family and then the community. Because Judaism starts from inside. The family is living together, then they follow tradition, laws of the Bible, whatever. Without community and without the family, we cannot survive. And I'm saying it because there's something interesting. You ask a youngest in Israel, or Jews or not, all over the world, what about Judaism? What about the history of Israel? They say, yeah, the Bible period, the first temple, Solomon David, second temple, time of Jesus, the great destruction, the revolt against the Romans, and then the Holocaust and the states of Israel. And what happened in between? Do you know? Nobody knows. 2,000 years of exile, like a black hole in space. It's not. It's time that people lived and they did things in their communities. And they did so many things, so different things, because they were apart all over the world. We have communities in Yemen, different from the communities in Ethiopia, different from communities that went out from Spain in that exile to Morocco, North Africa, and other parts of Europe. And we have the Ashkenazite of Ukraine and Russia, and they celebrate differently. But where are we going to the Bible? The same book. So we still have the same book, and we're going to talk about it, but now we're talking about the different, because it's spread all over. And of course, we have in China Jews and in India Jews, the Kuchin, whatever. So what we try to make it here clear, that 2,000 years, even more than that, 2,500 from the Babylonian exile, we had culture. And this is the word, culture. The Jewish culture, all over, different, but it's still the Jewish culture. So you go to Rome, you go to other places, history of nation, you see monuments, city, archaeology, you see architecture. You go in Europe, you go in other places, you can say, I see Judaism, architecture, archaeology, places. There is no material, only culture. You can find names, famous name, like Maimonides. He was a rabbi, he was Orthodox. Like Einstein, which was not like this, but he was Jew. You can find books, songs, praise, but nothing material. Okay? So it's difficult to show 2,000 years without pointing to, you know, this is a special architecture of the Jews. No, forget it. Okay? So this is why we start here. And going to see those giant stones that you're going to meet them in a wailing wall. It's not real. No, don't touch it. But anyway, yeah, the same dimension, finely cut from the edge of it, those are the best sample of Herodian stones. Herodian, King Herod, the great Herod, he built the second temple. What is left is the wall, the western wall, Hakotel HaMaravi, the sign of the destruction. The Jews are going there to cry, to pray. You're going to see them. Yeah. So this is a symbol of our heart in Jerusalem and the pain. We went out against the Roman. Against the Roman Empire. Nobody wanted them. And we were sure that God will do his job. We will start, he will finish. No, it was not so. We started, the Roman finished. Yeah, this is the entrance, not to the museum, to the 2,000 years of black space up there, the black hole in the space, to the 2,000 years of the unknown communities, culture, in all over the world. Israel was never abandoned, totally abandoned, but they went outside. As free men or not, mostly not, they had to escape, or they were sold as slaves in the markets. So this is the beginning of the 2000 years of diaspora. Going inside here, this is the only information we got, what you see here on the wall. What you see here, a Roman soldier, example of the Roman soldier so known in history, but this is more important. You see the Jewish slaves taking the treasury from the temple, including the menorah. You know the word menorah? The chandelier of gold with the internal fire up there. They're taking it to Rome. And this information is from Rome, from the victory arch, the victory gate of Titus in the central Rome. If you look carefully up there, you see that. From that time, the menorah disappeared. And you don't have any clue what happened with it. But you see the destruction. They broke the walls into Jerusalem. The temple was destroyed. The city was on fire. Some crazy person went to hide in Masada. We'll talk about it later on. But the Holy Land fell down. And we stopped to be independent at that time. So they're breaking inside. And this is the symbol of the Roman victory and our destruction.
1 second.
Yeah.
Test question. Who sees time in this picture? Who sees time in this picture? No one sees time? Okay, we'll move on. Certainly you see the silver trumpets.
Yes.
And what did they use the trumpets for?
To
do what? To announce time. Okay, let's move on. Why did the Romans take the silver trumpets? They always would say this, no more time, no more sword, no more name. Come on.
So this is the gate to the family. What we have here, too many faces. To show you that the Jews are normal. Usually if you go to some books, you have the shape of the Jew. You know, Shylock's from Shakespeare, you know the special hats that the Jews in medieval time they had to put on. But if you go to archaeological site in Israel and you see faces from mosaic floor, they're quite normal. And you surround, they're quite normal. The time is changing. Geographically, they are changed from rabbis to other. You see many, many faces. It's important to understand we're talking about people, regular people. Here, we're getting into traditions. So first of all, we have the holidays. And most of the Jews' holidays, they are from the Bible. They are religious, not all of them. When we have the laws, what to do and what not to do, and what is the symbol of holiday. But thinking twice about those holidays, which is not clear in the Bible, you go back to agriculture. And we're going to deal with it tomorrow. Because the people lived from the land. Okay? So, Passover, the beginning of the spring, by the time that we went out from slavery in Egypt. We have been 400 years slaves in Egypt. So Moses took us out, crossed the desert of Sinai. He didn't make it. Joshua Ben Nun had to continue to cross Jordan River and to bring the people, the nation. I'm not sure. This is a not nation, son of slaves. Can we call it nation? Not yet. To start to be a nation here. Okay? That's more correct. So we have the Shavuot. Amazing. The wedding, Jewish wedding. Have you seen one? In movies, of course. If you just listen to the music, you listen to mix of Jewish music, the Ashkenazi music, drummers from Yemen, whatever, changing. But the wedding is so simple in the Bible. We don't need the rabbi. We don't need anything. We need the bride to have, right? And two witnesses. And to make her your wife with those witnesses. And there is no God involved in marriage in Judaism. It can fail. So he has to pay what he promised her at the beginning, and she can go. Today it's not. Today, you know, the bureaucracy of the religion is so heavy that we must to have a rabbi, we don't need him, but we must. Sometimes they are nice. They jokes and they understand that they have to make life in it. But Judaism, if you follow the Bible, it's different from Judaism today.
Amen.
Right?
Amen. They're warming up. You guys are warming up, right?
Yes.
Okay. All Jews are responsible for one another. That's a big
yep. Okay, we used to say from the sages period, from Mishnah and Talmud, Kol Israel Arevim Ze Laze. How did you say it in English correctly?
All of the same.
Kol Israel Arevim Ze Laze. Israel responsible to one each other.
Yeah, one another.
One another. You know, when we did, when we lost the temple, and we lost the defense of those what we called Kohen and Levite and the people that rule the nation, and we spread all over to small communities, and we were dependent on God once on our behavior, on the local king. We discovered that we must be stuck together to live together. This is why all Israel responsible one another. Yeah, because if somebody mess around, they can kill us all. It's happened a lot. Okay? And this is the whole of his core. Remember, his core. It's a strong word in Hebrew, his core, because we have to remember a lot. We have to remember our past. We have to remember who we are and why we are here. Because today we have democratic countries. We can be Jews in Canada and States Australia. We don't have to be here. But in order to be here, we have to know why. It's too heavy to know why, two parts of it. First of all, the reason the Bible, we are the nation of the Bible. And second, to remember what happened to our communities in many, many places. Only to tell you that the wave of the Catholic movement getting to the Holy Land by the Crusaders, they slaughtered the Jews on the way just because they were Jews. So we have to stick together. Even if they killed part of the community, only together you can make the other day. Okay. We don't have to pray in synagogue. You go back to the Bible. I'm not sure we have to pray. We have to know. We have to read the Bible. But nothing in the Bible says that we have to pray. God doesn't need us to pray. He needs us to behave. So if you want to pray, do it the way you feel it. Go alone to the wailing wall. Be alone there. But when you are in a community outside of your homeland, it's better to stick together. This is the idea of the minyan, 10 men together. It's not from the Bible. It's because of situation. Okay? And looking at that scroll of the Bible, handwriting, what is the most holy for the Jews, for our nation? We don't have the temple anymore. A synagogue? Synagogue is a building. In a synagogue, we have the Torah, right? This is the book that gives you the principle. You take it outside of the synagogue is empty. And so many synagogues were destroyed. And the Jew has to escape, he has to take the Torah, to hide it, to go another place. He has the law, he has the principle, the way to live, what to do, what not to do, basically is there. So this is why too many nations disappeared after their temple was destroyed, and the Jewish nation is still there, the Torah.
You guys take a look at one thing. Who knows anything, who's heard about the Aleppo Codex? You heard of the Aleppo Codex? So I want you to look at this. This is going to connect for later, but take a look at this place. This place, it represents the place around the place where the Aleppo Codex was found and taken out. This is the great synagogue in Aleppo, Syria.
It's beautiful. This is beautiful.
Yes.
The Aleppo synagogue is burnt down, isn't it?
They burned down.
Yes, they burned it down.
This one is still standing.
Mm.
Yeah. In Toledo, yeah. So, how to build a synagogue? There are not laws. How to build a church? I'm not sure about churches, but synagogue must be at the higher part of the city to be shown, or in a shelter down there that nobody found it. No laws about it. It depends on the situation. Rich, modest, poor, depend of the situation. In the medieval city or in the Renaissance or late, I don't know where, early 20th centuries, you go to a city in Europe and you have few communities of Jews. One Ashkenazi, one Sephardi, one from Greece, one from Morocco. They have their own synagogues because they have different melodies and different praise. Going back to read the Bible, it's the same. But because of different tradition, we have so many synagogues. And some of them still there. Like this one, that was kept by the Spaniards as a church. This is why it's still there. Now is a museum for the synagogue in Toledo. And you look at it, you see the arabesque, it's a Muslim architecture in Spain. So everyone will be just different from the others. There is no rule, only one tradition. Facing direction to Jerusalem. So we have some examples of synagogues from many, many places. And you hear music, melodies of other tradition, of other communities, tradition inside Judaism, and you see a copy of a synagogue wall from Syria, 3rd century. If we find a church from the 3rd century, we'll be so happy, so glad to find the earliest one. So from what time we have the synagogues? We didn't have synagogue in the Bible period. From what time? This is a good question. Why? When the Jews people started to use synagogue? The answer is not today. We'll delay. But anyway, you look at the wall and you see people wearing the typical dress of this period. You see the menorah over there, you see rabbis, you see people, you see the rich one on a horse. 3rd century. Something is wrong here. We say in Judaism, in the Bible, don't paint, don't make, not a statue, not a picture, don't worship, not stars, not sun, not faces, not statue. And what we have here, if there was no chandelier, menorah over there, we could argue if it's synagogue or a church. But no, it's clear, this is a synagogue. What happened that Judaism went another step from that side and they start to have painting of humans in a synagogue, not in a rich private house? Okay, we'll try to make an issue another day, but the question we have, so many questions, because time is changing, we are changing, okay? If I want to live by the Bible today, it will be so difficult for me. Let's continue over there. Okay. This is a very important part of the museum, this wall. So you see many, many kind of Jews, many famous names. We know most of them, you know part of them, like Chaim Weizmann, like others. And for an example, we have a family here. Just to give you an idea. The grandfathers, he was a melamed. Melamed, we don't use this word today, it's too historical for us. The one to teach, like a teacher. And in every shtetl, in every little Jewish town in Europe, the kids, when they were 6 years old, they knew to read already. Because they started at 4 years old. All together with that melamed. He had his sons all together. One was a textile dealer, and he was a tailor, and he immigrates to Israel, the beginning of 20th century, became one of the pioneers in Israel, and the other one went to be was a communist in Russia, leading the revolution over there, and he was the one that kept the tradition from the father, and St. Warsha has a shop over there. Then another generation. Those who were perished in the Holocaust. And here you see his daughter. She came to Israel after we established the state of Israel. She knew languages. She worked in the radio and whatever. And you see, he became to be a lawyer. He was volunteering in the kibbutz. And you go on. Now, she is the new Protestant from the Israeli lefties, you know. The left, they protest against religion, but go back, all the family were religious, of course. And you go all over and... he was, when he was young, was a Russian soldier in Stalingrad. Now he is a physician in Moscow. And so you go on. If you go to another family, let's find the other family. The family from Baghdad. הסוחר מבגדד. בגדד is a city of commerce. So the Jews, they had to make the money from commerce. You see the dealer over there. And his daughter is a wife of a diamond dealer in Hong Kong. And another son became to be a British a worker in one of their offices over there, you know, administration, a banker, whatever, and continue one. He was a pilot, and he fell down in a battle on Britain. You know, as Weizmann was a British pilot, also later on the president of Israel. So you see, the way you look at it, and those who still was still taking the mochila, backpack, all of the world looking for herself. So the Jews, they are in the world, it's so wide, it's so open. I can't imagine how my grandson will look like. But if I'm going back to my grandfather, who was a rabbi, with a black dress, with the famous hat, with all the believers around him, because he was a famous one, and he could not believe that I will be without my kippah today, working with non-Jewish people. Oh, forget it. How does he know? And that wall gives you the history. But this is the back. This is 1st century. It's in Hebrew. But it gives you all along the history with the central events, what happened, and famous names of Jews from that period. What the book they left, what romance they wrote, whatever. It's so 20th century is here, but as you go there, you start with the exile of the Jews, the first century, the end of the first century. Okay, many small niches for art and whatever. I stop here in education, because the most important is education in every family, in every community, and we don't do it today, because too busy to work, never happened. The mother has to go to work with the father, and the kids, they have to push the button of microwave, and that's it. This is the end of education, microwave and TV and whatever. And we suffer today, but Judaism was so important all along the diaspora, only because of education. 6 years old, they knew to read. 10 years old, they knew the Bible by all direction. And then, usually, it was religious studies. But people went out of it, or they combined, like finance, like like Rambam was a doctor of kings. Many of them were doctors. So something happened. I'm sad for it. Because looking to Renaissance time, before the exile of Jews from Spain, the same rabbi was an Orthodox, but he had another personality. He was like a professor in NASA today. He was an astronomer. He was a doctor, he was whatever, finance, you know to calculate the percent when the other didn't. But it was he learned the Bible in the morning, in the afternoon he had another meeting with local king or whatever, and at night he could write a song, not a pray, a song about the nice young girl with the blue eyes going in the street. You won't find it today. The secular Jews is one part of the map. The Orthodox is one part of the map. What happened to us? What happened to us? That's a question. Why the Orthodox are so close in their communication? We might even see them in Jerusalem. The Orthodox, still in medieval dress, medieval thinking, everything is there. And of course, you know, the other Jews. But education is the basic. And the Jews were fighting to get into universities till the end of the 19th century to get involved. They left religions. They wanted to be moderns. Some of them were communists. Some of them went to other places. And from that time, the Jews tried to get away from the tradition of their religion to be secular. We find another enemy, anti-Semitism. Okay? So we couldn't escape from being Jews.